looking at the topic of the day of the Lord. This series, Discerning the Times, we're talking about end time prophecy, and this subject of the day of the Lord is the subject of the Old Testament prophecy. It's also the subject of New Testament prophecy as well. You know, I love the hymn that we sang, "It Is Well With My Soul," and that last verse, last stanza, when the trump sounds and the Lord descends, "Even so, it is well with my soul." And sadly, it's not going to be that way for many people that are not ready, that are not saved, and it's going to be a sad day. But here in verse 10, we're going to read verse 10 through verse 22 here in Isaiah chapter 2. And I want you to listen to this description of this time period in the future that's known as the day of the Lord. Verse 10, "Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He riseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the cleft of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, but wherein is he to be accounted of?" Father, we pray tonight, Lord, as we look at this subject of the day of the Lord, this future time period of Your judgment upon this world, Father, that You would give us understanding, and Father, that You would awaken us to this coming day that will come as a thief in the night. Lord, I pray for those that are unsaved and that they would be saved before it's too late. And I pray for those that are backslidden, that are not serving You, Lord, that they would get their hearts right with You so they'd be ready to meet You in the air. Father, we pray that You would use this subject to not just inform us about the end times prophecy, but Lord, that You would use this to encourage us to serve You with all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is a great passage. I mean, it's a fearful passage, but, you know, I love this phrase that's repeated a couple of times here, that it says in this day of the Lord that the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, I want to just, let's go back in history. In eternity past, before the world ever was, the Lord alone was exalted. I mean, stop and think about that. I mean, the Lord alone was exalted in eternity past. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, the Lord alone was exalted in that day. Every angel of God adored and praised Him. In the Garden of Eden, when God placed man in the garden which He made in His own image and gave him dominion over all the earth, in that day, the Lord alone was exalted. I mean, at the end of His creation, He declared all was very good. God alone was exalted in that day. You know, Adam was set up by God to be His representative, administering His rule over His earthly province of universal domain. It was to be a theocracy. God was to rule through man, through Adam. He gave dominion to man. Adam was to serve as that representative to rule on the earth. Everything was declared to be very good until that day in which Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covereth, said in his heart, I'll read from Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. He said these words, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God and will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Until that day, the Lord alone was exalted. But now there's a rival, Lucifer, who fell, who is now Satan. He is that one that opposeth God and all that that is followers of God. In fact, Paul talks in 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, that the Antichrist, who is Satan's representative in the last days, he's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. You know, even in our day and time right now in which we live, we look around in this present evil world, the Lord alone is not exalted. Oh, yes, He's exalted among God's people. I mean, when God's people assemble together and we worship Him and we praise Him, and we give glory to Him. Yes, God is exalted. But what I'm saying today is that He alone is not exalted in our world today. There are many lords and many gods today. There are spiritual wickedness in high places that have set themselves up against God. You know, Satan, he is called in the Scripture the prince and power of the air. You know, Satan is that usurper. Through the fall in Genesis chapter 3, Satan has usurped the authority that God gave to Adam over the earth. Satan today is the prince of the earth, the power of the air. I mean, that's what the Bible calls him. He is having his day right now. Satan is having his day. And even rebellious mankind, who is under his power and have been exalting themselves above God, asserting their own sovereignty and even some deity, they're having their day today. But the drama is not over. The drama of world history, before it comes to a close, it's going to be known throughout all the universe that the Lord, He is God. The Lord alone, in this future day of the Lord, will be exalted. You know, I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, that verse is quoted many times by Christians, and And, you know, and for good reason, how we do need to be still before the Lord. We need to be aware of His greatness and His presence, His majesty. But have you ever stopped to read the context of that psalm? If you go and look, for example, in Psalm 46, where we read from in verse 10, when you look in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Now notice what he says. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You know, you go down in verse number 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Listen, he's talking about that future day of the Lord. The future day of the Lord, when the heathen rage and kingdoms move, he uttered his voice, and it says, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he had made in the earth. That's going to be during this time period we're going to talk about tonight, the day of the Lord. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. That's talking about in time, day of the Lord, time period. And it's in that context he said, be still, know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That is a prophecy. That is a prophecy that we are seeing in Isaiah chapter 2, that in this time period, the day of the Lord, God alone will be exalted among the heathen. What is the day of the Lord? What is its significance to end time prophecy? That's our subject tonight. I want to give you a definition of what I believe the day of the Lord is. The day of the Lord in the Scripture, this phrase you're going to find many times. I didn't look it up, but I know it's found in many, many verses. But it refers to God's special interventions into the course of world events to judge His enemies, accomplish His purpose for history, and thereby demonstrate who He is, the sovereign God of the universe. So the day of the Lord is His special intervention into the course of world events to judge His enemies, accomplish His purpose for history, and thereby demonstrate who He is. You know, to accomplish His purpose, God, He worked providentially in history past to bring down the haughtiness of men. You know, when you go through Isaiah and Jeremiah and you go through Ezekiel, you even go through some of the minor prophets, you're going to find that some of those references to the day of the Lord were references to immediate judgment that was coming on Israel or Judah. And I'm not going to take time to go to a bunch of those, but let's just start with an example for Isaiah 13, for example. But even in this chapter, you're going to find that later in the chapter, he expands it to that future day of the Lord when it involves all nations. But when you come to Isaiah 13, verse 1, he talks about the burden of Babylon. And so he's going to go on in this chapter and talk about how Babylon is going to come from a far country in verse 5, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the whole land. Verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. So in this sense, it's talking about in history past when Babylon came into the land of Judah to take them captive and destroy the land, to bring God's judgments upon Judah for their sins. I mean, when you read Daniel chapter 1, you see that it was the Lord that sent Nebuchadnezzar. It was the Lord that allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take those things out of the temple and take them as spoils in the battle. And so it was God's judgment. It was upon Israel, upon His people. And so I want you to understand that there's a sense in which the day of the Lord was fulfilled in those history past events. But then when you start reading through these scriptures, you also see that ultimately He has determined to have His day in the end time. And I want to show you some scriptures that are very clearly referring to a future day of the Lord that is yet to be fulfilled. Well, one we read already, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, you know, when we read those verses. If you will go and read Revelation chapter 6, you will see a parallel. You will see in Revelation 6 where they were going into the caves and into the mountains and crying for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. The very same terminology that's used in Isaiah chapter 2. And in Isaiah chapter 2, twice, I can remember just from my reading there just a moment ago, that he said, when the Lord comes to shake terribly the earth. So he's not talking about a local judgment just taking place in Judah, in Jerusalem. He's talking about, in Isaiah 2, the whole earth. God judging the whole earth. And so this time period we'll look at in just a moment, but let's look at another example. Isaiah 34. I want you to look at Isaiah 34 in these first 8 verses. In Isaiah 34, verse number 1, come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein. The world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He had utterly destroyed them. He had delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorn shall come down with them, the bullocks, and with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust shall be made fat with fatness. Notice verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now, when you read these verses, it's very clear and evident. He's talking about a universal judgment, a worldwide judgment. And when he talks about the heavens, the host of heaven being dissolved, the heavens being rolled together as a scroll. You know, we read about that in the New Testament, you know, when this earth is going to be destroyed with fire. He's going to create a new heaven, a new earth one day. He's talking about the judgments in the last days. He's talking about when remember Jesus talked about the sun becoming dark, the moon becoming as blood, the stars falling out of heaven. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a future day of the Lord when God's going to judge all nations of the world. He says here, he references all the nations. You know, there are many, many other scriptures we could look at in the Old Testament if we had time, in the book of Joel and Zechariah. But for time's sake, I want to just look at our New Testament reference. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. We looked at this one last week when we were talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But you know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, he's talking in verse 14 through 18 about the rapture. We've already talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The rapture is when he comes in the air to catch his saints up in the air. That's before these 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that 7 years of tribulation is the revelation when Jesus comes with his saints to this earth in judgment. Now, I want to just explain something before we read these verses. And after the rapture, the time clock with Israel, the Daniel 70th week prophecy is going to kick back into play. Right now, between the 69th and 70th week, there's been this gap of time. And what we know now is the church age. That's where we are now. But when we are taken up, when Jesus comes, when we are taken up in the air to be with the Lord, it's going to begin the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to cover this entire 7 year period of tribulation of God's wrath. And when Jesus comes back with his saints, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, as we talked about last week. And that's when he's going to judge the nations there at the end, as they all come against Jerusalem. And then there's going to be a time of judging, separating sheep and goats. Then they're going to enter the kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. Now, we're going to see in a moment that the day of the Lord extends on end to the millennium. And I'll talk about that concept in just a moment. But let's look here. 1 Thessalonians 5, but at the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, I want you to stop there. Something I want you to notice. Why is the day of the Lord said to be occurring as a thief in the night? It's because the rapture is going to occur as a thief in the night. It's because Jesus coming for his saints is imminent. It could come any moment, any time. There are no signs to precede it. It can come and just like, bam, like that, we're caught up. The trump sounds, we're caught up, we're changed. And then, but notice the pronoun here in verse 3. When they shall say. Who is he talking about? He's talking about that lost world out there. Because, you know, in verse 4, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. There's a contrast here. We that are in the Lord, it's not going to overtake us as a thief. We're children of light. But he says, but they, when they say peace and safety, then bam, it comes, sudden destruction. The day of the Lord kicks into place. And so we can see here a description in these passages that we read of a future coming judgment known as the day of the Lord. Now, there's a second concept I want you to understand, that there's a twofold nature of the day of the Lord. A twofold nature of the day of the Lord. It's going to be characterized by both darkness and light. And I want to just explain something to you. In the creation, in the beginning of the world, when God created, what does Genesis 1 tell us? In the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, in God's days of creation, there's an evening and there's a morning. There's a time of darkness, there's a time of light. And it's interesting that God's day begins at Eden. You know, our day in our Roman time and everything, we start our day at 6 a.m. morning. But in the Jewish day, in Jewish calendar, it always starts at 6 in the evening. And so evening and morning were the first day. Well, in the future day of the Lord, there's going to be this phase known as evening or darkness. And what is that darkness? Well, it's that outpouring of divine wrath upon the world. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. I want you to see the description that Joel gives of this future day of the Lord. And notice his description of it in verse 2. But we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Joel chapter 2, he says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Now notice verse 2. "A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and strong, there have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." So he talks about the day of the Lord is going to be a day of darkness. A day of darkness. There's another example. If you go to the next book here in Amos, the book of Amos in chapter 5, Amos chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, then even very dark and no brightness in it?" Here he's describing the dark aspect of that judgment in the day of the Lord, this future judgment. It's going to be, that's what it's going to be like for God's enemies. That's what it's going to be like for the unsaved. It's going to be a day of darkness. A sad day at that. But I do want to say that this day of the Lord also includes light or blessing. And I got to give you some examples of that. Going back to Joel chapter 3. Go back to Joel and go to chapter 3. You'll notice here in this third chapter, in verses 9 through 16, he's talking about the judgment, the war. He says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Make up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up." He talks in verse 11, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. There cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord." And he talks about the valley of Jehoshaphat here in verse 12, and where he's going to sit and judge the heathen round about. And verse 15, "The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." Verse 16, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord shall be the hope of his people, the strength of his the children of Israel." So what he's talking about here in these first part is the judgment when they're all assembled together. You know, you read Revelation 16, you read about this assembling together of people, Valley Megiddo, to be judged. You read about it in Revelation 19. But if you'll notice, if you continue reading, I want you to look in verse 18. Well, let's just start with the next verse, verse 17. I'm sorry. "So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her anymore." Verse 18. "And it shall come to pass in that day." Now notice that, underline that. In that day, what day? The day of the Lord. "That the mountains shall drop down new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim." And so what you have here is that he's talking about what comes after that judgment, the kingdom, the blessing for God's people as they reign during that 1,000 years. You know, Zechariah, we looked at last week, if you'll go there in chapter 14, in Zechariah chapter 14, remember how we read in verse 4 that his feet are going to stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. You know, those first four verses, he talks about the day of the Lord cometh. He talks about the nations, all nations gathered against Jerusalem, the battle, verse 2. The city is going to be taken. But then when we get to verse 3 and 4, it talks about the Lord coming and the Lord going forth to fight against those nations. So you see that here, the judgment aspect. But when you come to verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In the summer and winter it shall be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And so all I want you to see is in these verses we're having to read through very quickly is that the future day of the Lord is going to involve darkness and light, judgment, blessing. That phrase, the day of the Lord, it encompasses the entire time period from the rapture when the tribulation starts all the way through the millennium. Because you know what? In the millennium, what's going to happen? What's going to be taking place in the millennium? The Lord alone is going to be exalted. Is He not? He's going to reign as King of kings, Lord of lords during the millennium. There's going to be no question about that. Until the very end, there's going to be a rebellion, but it's going to be put down. Listen, the Lord alone will be exalted all through this time of darkness and judgment. When people are crying out to the rocks to come down upon them because they're going to see the Lord from heaven coming down in judgment upon them. God alone is going to be exalted in that day and also in that day of the millennium. He's going to show Himself as sovereign God. You know, the present day that we're in when Satan and rebellious mankind is ruling this world system. Think about it. They're ruling this world system in their day. Well, God's day must also involve His ruling the earth. So the day of the Lord, the future day of the Lord, it also involves this time of the millennium when He's going to rule over all. But then let me share with you one other thing about the day of the Lord. You know, we talk about this extended period of time known as the day of the Lord. It's an extended period. I mean, we're talking not just the 7 years of tribulation, but we're talking including the 1,000 years of millennium. So it's about 1,007 years long. I mean, this day of the Lord. Remember the definition for the day of the Lord. It's God's intervention in the world events. Remember that? He comes into world events and to show Himself who He is, to exalt Himself as God. But I want you to understand that the day of the Lord, there's also a few verses that in which it refers to the specific day that Jesus comes in His revelation to this earth. And I want to look at those verses to that specific day. And I don't want you to be confused by this because, you know, it really makes clear sense when you begin to look at it. Let's go back to Joel. Let's go back to Joel in chapter 3. In Joel chapter 3. You know, as we said, the verses 9 through 16, it talks about the armies of the nations. They're gathering together. The day of the Lord cometh and is near. I want you to look in verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. Now, you see, that's where some people can get confused. They think, well, what I thought you just said is this whole period. Well, the day of the Lord is near. What is he talking about here? Go back in chapter 2 of Joel, in verse 31. Joel chapter 2 and verse 31. He says that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Now notice this next phrase. Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. So this phrase here, the great and the terrible day, what's he talking about here? If you look at the context, you look at this verse, what he's saying, he's referring to that specific day in which Jesus comes to this earth, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. That is the great and terrible day. So don't be confused by this. When you come across these verses, the day of the Lord, yes, it speaks of an extended period of time, but it also, there is a reference to a specific day in which Jesus is going to come in His glory to this earth. Why is it called great and terrible? Well, because when He comes to this earth, He's going to expose who God's enemies are. I mean, His presence will be here on earth, and He's going to be here in great power and glory. You know, Matthew 24, when Jesus was on this preaching to the disciples about the end times, He tells them there in verse number 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. You see all that terminology we've just looked at in the Old Testament prophets? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is the great and terrible day. That is the specific day in which He's going to come. Now, that's not the rapture. That's not what's next is the rapture, the catching up of the saints. But this here is the revelation. This is when He comes to the earth. This is at the end of that tribulation period. This is during that day of the Lord when God is exalting Himself. But in that particular day, yes, He alone is going to be exalted. Every eye is going to see Him. Every eye will see Him. Every eye will see Him coming down in clouds of glory. You know, He's going to bring His saints with Him. They're going to, His armies, they're going to go to war against those that have come against Jerusalem. You know, at that time, there'll be the end of Satan and rebellious mankind's rule on this earth. Have you stopped and think about that? It's going to be the end. The end of their rule. You know, the 7-year time, that 7-year tribulation, when the Antichrist is going to rule during that time, that's his last. That's it. That's man's last day. They're going to have their last heyday during that week, that 7 years. But when Jesus comes, it will end. It will end Satan's dominion. He'll be cast in the bottomless pit. He'll be bound there 1,000 years, the Bible says. He's going to be loose at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Christ is going to show Himself body and take Satan at that time and cast him in the lake of fire. See, Satan will no more rule after the great and terrible day of the Lord. As Isaiah 2 says, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. You know, God is jealous for His glory. He does not share His glory with anyone. He does not share. You know, it may look today that Satan is winning. It may look like evil's winning. But listen, we know the end of the story. You know, I've read the last chapter. I know what's coming. You know what's coming. You know, this great and terrible day is coming. It's going to be great and terrible for rebellious mankind, for lost mankind. It's going to be great and terrible for Satan, because it's going to be a time of severe judgment. Time of severe judgment. Let me just conclude with this thought. God's day is coming. God's day is coming. You know, we as His people, God has called us to exalt Him. God has called us to serve Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. But He's not alone exalted in our world today. We're to go forth to shine His lights. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of that darkness into His light. We're to go out there into this world and shine, to let the light shine, to let people see Jesus, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace that we talked about this morning. We're living in that time when peace is being offered by this King. He's the King of peace. He's the Savior King. He's come to offer this peace. But listen, the Lion is preparing to come. The Lamb has come, died on the cross, but the Lion is preparing to come. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is coming on a white horse in judgment to rule and reign. As we close, I want to read Psalm 2. Everybody turn to the second Psalm. This is an awesome conclusion to this subject. You know, as I read this Psalm, I'm just like, wow, this is what it's all about. This is what the day of the Lord, this is what He's writing about here in the second Psalm. Let's read it. Follow along as I read. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Notice the instruction here in verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Amen. You know, this great psalm is talking about that rebellion of man, the kings coming against the Lord, and the Lord sending His king. It says He shall break them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Listen, that lowly and meek Savior that came riding on the donkey into Jerusalem, as we read in the Scripture this morning, He's not coming in that manner again. When He comes the second time, we see it's going to be in wrath. He says, kiss the Son. What does that mean? What does that mean? To submit to the Son. To bow before the Son. To acknowledge who He is, His authority. And you know, He says, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. The only hope that we have in this future day of the Lord is to trust in the Son. That's it. Trust in the Son, Jesus Christ. Bow down, kissing, trusting, serving with gladness, as he says, serving with fear, rejoice with trembling, because he's coming one day and his wrath's going to be kindled. Let's stand. As we stand, let's bow our heads in prayer, prepare for this invitation, an opportunity for us to respond to what the Lord has spoken tonight. Our Father, I pray that, Lord, as we consider this subject of the day of the Lord, the subject of how one day you alone is going to be exalted in the earth. You're going to be exalted before the heathen, before all the nations. Lord, it's going to be a dreadful day for those who are lost. It's going to be a day of judgment, a day of wrath. And Lord, I know that that's where every one of us would be if it wasn't for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because we're good people that we're going to escape this wrath. But as we read in the Scripture, it's only as we trust in the Son. It's only as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts that we can escape this condemnation, this wrath, to be reconciled with you and to have peace with God. I pray tonight if there's anyone here that has not been saved, has not come to Jesus, I pray that tonight they would come, put their trust in Jesus. They would call upon Him as their Savior, confess Him as their Lord before it's too late. I pray they would come tonight and kiss the Son. Lord, I pray also, Lord, for those here that are saved. Lord, we know that this day is coming when you're going to be exalted. You're going to show yourself as the sovereign God of creation. And you've called us as your people to be your witnesses, to go into this world and shine His lights. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, this week. Lord, as we go to our homes, we go to our places of work and school and wherever You've called us, Lord, that we would allow Jesus to shine through us, that we would not just in our actions, but in our words, share the gospel of Jesus. Because this day is coming. It's a dreadful day for those who are lost, do not know the Lord Jesus. God, help us to reach out to those around us that are lost. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Curtis is going to sing.